May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. In the late 1940s, 1946, 1947, or thereabouts, a young Bedouin boy was looking for a lost animal near the Dead Sea. And he stumbled into a cave, and in that cave he found some scrolls, 2,000-year-old scrolls, to be exact. These texts are known as the Dead Sea Scrolls, and it is one of the single greatest discoveries in biblical studies in recent memory. The scrolls contain some of the oldest copies of every single book in the Hebrew Bible, except for Esther and Nehemiah. Now, what is equally interesting is the community that hid and preserved these texts 2,000 years ago, a separatist group of the first century known as the Essenes, contemporaries of Jesus of Nazareth and his followers. The Essenes had withdrawn to the desert to lead holy lives, lives set apart from the mainstream of their day. They saw laziness and corruption in daily life among their Jewish kin, and they despised it. They considered unbending obedience to every letter of the law to be the true path to righteousness. If you thought the Pharisees were, well, Pharisees, the Essenes take that kind of religious observance to the next level. Ritual purity wasn't simply a matter of practice in daily life. It was their daily life. Now, I think it's important for us to keep the Essenes in mind as we look at arguments like the one we overhear today in the gospel. You may not be able to tell from the reading, this brief glimpse into the religious debates of Jesus' day, but the Pharisees were actually part of a reform movement in their day and age. They were trying, like Jesus and his followers, not to burden people with the law, but to bring the law into their daily life, to help the everyday person find meaning in it. The Pharisees talked about the law so that the common person could find meaning in it, not be left out of it. And in this way, the Pharisees actually had a lot more in common with Jesus and his followers than they did with the Essenes. Both Jesus and the Pharisees were trying to interpret the law in the light of their current situation, not demanding observance for its own sake. So before we throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak, what are we to learn from the work of religious observance? What does it mean to do the work of God, to increase, in the words of our opening collect, in true religion? Now, of course, there are plenty of reasons why we maintain long-held traditions, why we each, in our own way, are trying to participate in something larger than us. It is nothing if not human to desire that kind of connection, that kind of belonging. It is nothing if not human to desire to pass that down to our children, to give them something that tells them about who they are and where they've come from, what their place in the world is. Tradition at its best doesn't demand senseless acts of observance so much as it tells a story about who we are, a story about where we've come from and what we value. Tradition, at its best, is both a reminder of who we are and whom we have yet to become, a rudder and guide in the stormy seas of a chaotic world. And in the case of a small persecuted Jewish minority during Roman occupation 2,000 years ago, to do the works of the law was no mere legalism. It was a way to honor the God of their ancestors, a way to pass down something to the generations to come in a world decidedly set against them. To be a Pharisee, or to be a follower of Jesus for that matter, in that world so far removed from ours, was to desire to pass down something to guide future generations in the face of Roman rule and violence, to give one's family both the tools to survive and the memory to pay it forward. Sounds good, doesn't it? Jesus, however, understood this wasn't the only thing that tradition does. Just as tradition can form us into the kind of people we'd like to be, it can also deform us, corrupt us. It has the potential not only to deepen and enrich our lives, but to entrench and stagnate our worst instincts. We know plenty about that kind of tradition. The kinds of things we do not for love of our community, past, present, and yet to come, but for fear of change. Not for appreciation of the richness and meaning of our rituals, but for fear of failure, were we to try something different. Not for deeper connection to creation and the divine, but for fear that we'll lose our place and status in the world. Practices, traditions rooted in fear can turn a once living and breathing tradition into a precious calcified idol. And Jesus directs his anger at those traditions. Those traditions which keep us from growing into whom we are called to be. Those that idolize who we once were in the face of real or perceived threats, instead of pointing us toward whom we ought to be. Our prayers and hymns, friends, in this beautiful Anglican tradition of ours, are not good because they are ancient. They are good because we keep praying and singing them, because they effectively bring us closer to God and to one another. Devotion, be it religious piety or patriotism, is only as good as that which it points us toward, the possibilities for human flourishing that it opens for each and every one of us. Are we willing, like Jesus, to risk practicing that kind of true religion? Letting these rites help us become the people that God calls us to be, not become the people we thought we once were. You know, this week I've been thinking about George's sermon from last week on the bread of life, how Jesus is holy food for those who hunger. And I have been replaying in my mind another quote from St. Augustine, this one, once again, about what it means to prepare for the holy meal which we take part in every Sunday. If you are Christ's body and members, he once said, it is your own mystery that is placed before you on the Lord's table. If you are Christ's body and members, it is your own mystery that is placed before you on the Lord's table. Be what you see. Receive what you are. Be what you see. Receive what you are. May we take part in this holy ritual, friends, not because it's what we've always done, not because it's the right way to do it, but because we seek genuine transformation, the kind of transformation that lasts. Amen.